Kof Aleph Adar Rishon, Tuesday the 26th of February, Rabbi Matthias Yohu Lawrence, Lo Savaru Eish.
Good morning. I'd like to speak about the pasuk today, a pasuk at the beginning of this week's parsha, Parshas Vayakhel. The pasuk is Lo Yisavaru Eish B'chol Moish V'yisechem B'yoyim HaShabbos. One is not allowed to ignite a fire in all your dwelling places on the Shabbos day. And starting with Chazal, through the Rishonim, through the Achronim, we find great difficulty with this pasuk. We find difficulty with the context of the pasuk. We find difficulty with the meaning of the pasuk. And we find difficulty with the application of the pasuk. So we're not going to start chronologically. I'm not going to go starting with the Chazal. I'm going to start with the Rishonim, who are on the page of the Mikrais Gedolos. Then work our way back to the Chazal. And then move forward to the Achronim afterwards, and how this pasuk is actually applicable halacha l'maisa. So, by way of hakdoma, by way of introduction, we all know that on Shabbos there are 39 melochas, 39 categories of activity which are forbidden on Shabbos. These are constructive activities. I think that term was coined by Diane Grunfeld, that's all. Constructive activities. That's what the melocha actually means. And if you look in the Mishnayos, the Masechta Shabbos Perek Klal Gadol, the Mishnah lists 39 melachas. These melachas are not stated explicitly in the Torah at all. We learn it from the Meleches HaMishkan. Whatever was needed to build the Mishkan, the parashas of these few weeks, whatever was needed to build the Mishkan, those are the melachas which we are not allowed to do on Shabbos. How do we know of that connection between the Mishkan and Shabbos? Because the Torah writes within the parshas of the Meleches HaMishkan, it writes a number of times the mitzvah of keeping Shabbos. So Chazal Darshim from there, it's brought in Rashi and the Medrashim and Gemaras as well. Chazal tell us that keeping Shabbos, what does that involve? It involves not doing the melachas which were involved in the building of the Mishkan. Now, as we mentioned, none of those melachas are mentioned explicitly in the Torah. They're all learned by Kabbalah from Chazal, with one exception. The exception is this melacha we're talking about today, which is the melacha of Lo Yisavaru Eish B'chol Moish V'yisechem B'yom HaShabbos. One is not allowed to ignite a fire or to kindle a fire on Shabbos. So the question which the Mefarshim deal with all the way back is, why is this melacha singled out? Why is it that all the other melachas we learn from the Torah, and whereas this melacha, the Torah chose to single out and to specify in this posuk, one is not allowed to kindle or ignite fire on Shabbos? Why is it find its own special place in the Torah? That's one question which we will be dealing with. So, if one looks at the Mefarshim on the page of the Mikrais Gedolos, we find that they don't ask this question explicitly, but they're all coming to answer this question. Rashi quotes a Chazal, Gemara in Shabbos Daf Ayin. Rashi says, "Yesh mei Rabbeinu oimrim havara lelav yotzos." There are those of our Rabbeinu who say that the pasuk over here, havara of the melacha of havara of igniting, is lelav yotzos, whereas all other infringements of Shabbos, if one breaks Shabbos with the other malachas, the oinish is skila, kores. When it comes to lo yisavaru eish, the Torah wanted to make this different and say no, there is no oinish of skila or kores, but the oinish is alav, it's malchus. The Torah sort of downgraded it. For some reason, it doesn't say why. But yesh oimrim, says Rashi, in the name of Chazal, L'chalek yotzos. This posik came over to divide, to distinguish. What does that mean? It means that if a person broke Shabbos in a number of different ways at the same time. In other words, he did a number of different melachas on the same Shabbos. He wouldn't just be chayav once for breaking Shabbos, but he would be chayav for breaking Shabbos on each melacha that he did. And this pasuk here is coming to single out and tell you that each melacha is to be regarded as a separate breaking of Shabbos, a separate melacha in its own right, not just he's broken Shabbos, but he's done each one of the melachas. That's the two opinions of Chazal that Rashi brings. But we want to look a little bit further and see, why is it that this pasuk is actually necessary? Why is the Torah specifying this mitzvah? So we look at the Rashbam. The Rashbam says, and I read the words of the Rashbam, "Lefi shebeyomim toivim kesiv, asher ye'ochel l'chol nefesh hu levadoi ye'oseh lochem." The pasuk says in the context with Yom Tov, a special heter. What is the difference between Shabbos and Yom Tov? The difference between Shabbos and Yom Tov is that on Yom Tov it is mutter, it is permitted to do oichel nefesh, melacha for the purposes of oichel nefesh, preparation of food. Which is why we know we can cook and we can carry on Yom Tov, because it all comes to facilitate the cooking of food on Yom Tov. So the Rashbam says, because the Torah told us a special heter of oichel nefesh, of doing melacha on Yom Tov for the purposes of preparing food, shom hutra havoras eish lafois ulevashel. In the context of Yom Tov, the Torah permitted us to light a fire in order to cook and to bake. Now we know that on Yom Tov we don't light new fires, we kindle a fire from another fire. But that is midrabbanon. Midoraisa, one can actually light a new fire on Yom Tov, but we don't do it because midrabbanon, it's called moilid esh. But min haTorah one could. So the Torah has permitted us to do havorah on Yom Tov, says the Rashbam, aval b'shabbos kasiv, es asher toifu eifu. The Torah says, in the commandments, you have to bake and prepare and cook the things that you need for Shabbos before Shabbos, because you're not allowed to do it on Shabbos itself. Mi ba'oid yoim, says the Rashbam, before Shabbos comes in. Kach mazhir ki b'Shabbos lo sevaru eish lemeleches oichel nefesh. So it's coming to tell us that whereas on Yom Tov there is a heter to do havora and other melachas for the purposes of oichel nefesh, when it comes to Shabbos there is no such heter. V'kol shekein shah melachos she'asurin afidu b'Yom Tov. And kol shekein, all the other melachos which are forbidden in Yom Tov, then of course they're going to be forbidden on Shabbos as well. So basically what the Rashbam is telling us is that which is permitted on Yom Tov is not permitted on Shabbos. That's what the Torah is coming to tell us over here. Havara is permitted on Yom Tov min haTorah, but it's not permitted on Shabbos. So that's how the Rashbam explains why the Torah singled out this melacha specifically. If we turn to the Sfarnoi says, Loi sevaru eish, af al pi shehavara ba'atzmo hi kilkul al haroi, even though normally burning something with fire is normally a destructive act, because you burn up the fuel, whatever it is that you're burning. So even though Havara is a kilkul, and what is the general rule when it comes to Malacha on Shabbos? As we stated before, what is the definition of Malacha? Constructive activity. So the vast majority, 97% of the Malachas, are all constructive. Even the destructive melachas are actually constructive. So for example, one is not allowed to build on Shabbos, one is not allowed to destroy on Shabbos. But to destroy a building on Shabbos is only forbidden min haTorah if your intention is to rebuild. There's various other melachas, to be moichik, to rub out something in Shabbos is only forbidden, even though it's a destructive act, it's forbidden if you want to prepare the surface for rewriting something. So basically all the malachas are all constructive. Havara also is one of these, which is destructive. You burn things up. Yes, you want to do it for constructive reasons. You want the heat, you want the light. But intrinsically it's a destructive malacha. Says the Sefarnoi, Mikol mokoi bihiyoisa kli l'chol ha-malachos. Because havara, because igniting a flame is a kli, and we don't mean kli in the sense of a vessel, but it's a facilitator. It facilitates all other malachas, oy l'rubon, or at least most of them, hi asura b'shabbos. What does the Rashbam mean? That havara, lighting a fire facilitates all other melachos. So the Rashbam means that, for example, if a person wants to cook, he needs to light a fire. If a person wants to do building, right, so he needs to melt some of the materials. So if you go through each of the malachas, Havara is very much linked to all the malachas. And therefore, the Torah specified that one to, in its own right, as being forbidden. That's how the Sepharnai answers the question. We know that there was a machlokes between the Chazal, the Purushim, and the Karoim. Karoim were the Karaites. The Karaites were a breakaway sect of Jewish people who believed in the Torah Shabbat Bichsav and not in the Torah Shabbat Al-Peh. And therefore, because they didn't maintain the Torah Shabbat Al-Peh, they only looked at the Torah Shabbat Bichsav and they interpreted it on its own merits, so to speak. They took this pasuk and they understood that when it says Lo Tzavaru Eish B'chol Moshveisechem B'Yom HaShabbos, you're not allowed to have fire burning throughout Shabbos. That's how they interpreted. Not you must not ignite it or kindle it on Shabbos, but rather you must not have it burning, which meant no cholent, right? No cholent, because sitting in the dark, we're not allowed to have a fire burning throughout Shabbos. They sat in the dark. And there are reports in many old Sforim of the Karoim, how they sat down on Shabbos, in the dark, in the cold, with no hot food, and that was Shabbos for them. And the Rav Sadia Gaon wrote a whole sefer against this point and the other mistakes that they were making. Ibn Ezra quotes it. And it was a well-known machlokes between Chazal and the Karoim, because they interpreted this pasuk without the help of Chazal. So that's why it's so important for us to understand what Chazal and Al Mefarshim are telling us in this pasuk. And in fact, the Mechilta, the Medrash, the Mechilta says, Lo yisavaru eish b'chol moish v'yiseichem b'yoyim ha-shabos, it darshens, b'yoyim ha-shabos i'ato mavir. On Shabbos you can't light fire. That's when you can't do it. But what's the implication of that? Aval ato maveh mi erev Shabbos, the Shabbos, but you can light the fire on erev Shabbos so that it's burning throughout Shabbos. In fact, the Darshan the Apostle specifically to tell you that we are allowed to have a fire. And the Ramah brings in Shulchan Aruch that if you see somebody who dafka doesn't have hot food on Shabbos, he wants to eat everything cold, one has to be choshish that maybe he is from this group of people of the Karoim who doesn't believe that you're allowed to have a fire burning throughout Shabbos, and therefore he doesn't keep food hot, and that's what the Ramah brings in Shulchan Aruch. So it's a very important mitzvah to have hot food, it says, on Shabbos, in order to la'afuke, to go against this mistaken opinion of the Karoim. Now there's a very interesting pshat, which the Teferes Yohanneson is Yohanneson Eibshitz, and it's also brought, I found it in another sefer, in the name of the Imri Emes, of Geir. And I'll read you what it says. That we know that Kodesh Baruch Hu created the world in 6 days, and on Shabbos he rested. He rested from the melachas that he was doing, so to speak, throughout the Sheishis Yimei Bereishis. Came Shabbos and he rested. Now, we all know, Chazal tell us, that when was fire created, or at least brought into the world? Fire was created with a Motzi Shabbos. Adam HaRishon discovered how to rub two stones or wood together and create a fire. So fire was only used as a melacha, really, on Motzi Shabbos, not during the Sheis Yisimei Bereishis. For that reason, we light a fire and make a brocha on it on Motzi Shabbos at Havdalah. So the Rav Yonason Eibshitz says, and the Imri Emes of Geir says,
what day was he that taken out from Aden?
I'm not sure the connection.
Before Shabbos.
Yeah. Can we come back to it? Yeah? Just not to lose the thread. So the Rebbe Sanevishit says, and the Geir Rebbe says, that all the malachas that were done by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak, in the creation of the world, that's what he rested from on Shabbos. Except Havara, except this malacha we're talking about today, that wasn't really done, so to speak, until Motzi Shabbos by Adam HaRishon. So therefore, one would have thought that that is not forbidden to do on Shabbos. Because we are resting on Shabbos from what HaKadosh Baruch Hu did in the Sheish Yisumei Bereishis. But he didn't really do Havara, so to speak. Havara was only came after the Sheish Yisumei Bereishis. So one would have thought that perhaps it's not included in the Malachas of Shabbos. So therefore the Torah had to come along specifically and tell us that yes, the Malacha of Havara is included in the Halachas of Shabbos, and one is not allowed to light, ignite, or kindle fire on Shabbos. In a similar light to what we said before, that the Sephano quoted, this idea that Havara is needed to facilitate many other Malachas. So Rabbeinu Bachai says the following point. That when the Torah over here actually is saying Lo Sivaru Eish B'chol Moshevei Seichem, actually it's not really singling out fire, creation of fire. This is actually a reference to all the Malachas. Why then did it mention it in terms of fire? Same idea as the Sephanoi said, because fire facilitates many other Malachas. It's like kind of the father Malacha of all the Malachas. And therefore when the Torah is saying Lo Sivaru Eish B'chol Moshevei Seichem, it's actually a reference to doing all the Malachas. But he says, that's the reason why Chazal said, we make a bracha on Eish on Motzi Shabbos. He doesn't quote the Medrash here that we mentioned before of Adam Arishan. He says, because Eish is like the chief malacha, it's like the most important of all the malachas, Chazal said that when Shabbos finishes and we want to signify that we are now permitted to do malacha, Chazal Dafka chose the malacha of making an Eish to make a bracha on Motzi Shabbos. Why? Because that's like the main malacha which one is forbidden to do. It facilitates all the other malachas. That's really what Shabbos is all about. And now Motzi Shabbos has come and we are allowed to do malacha, so we signify that by making a bracha on Eish. Now, a final pshat which I saw before we get to the sort of halacha section is from the Maril Diskin. Maril Diskin says, in his Pirush on Chumash, he says that an interesting point. Why do we create fire? Why do we light fire? We light fire in order to cook, and we light fire for light purposes. But in the time when Bnei Yisrael were in the Midbar, they didn't need to create fire in order to make light. Why not? Because during the daytime, they didn't need light. And during the nighttime, they had an Amud Eish, which lit up everything for them. So they didn't really need to create any light. So says the Maril Diskin, the Indian hadloka kedei lahoir. Hadloka, lighting, for the purposes of illumination, yesh lehistapek bo. We could have a bit of a shaila, a sophic about it, e damya lehavya b'mishkan. If this malacha is actually similar to what they did in the Meleches HaMishkan. They didn't really need to light fires very much. At least for light. Because they had the Amud Eish, which was lighting up for them. What about the fact they would need fire for actually doing the Meleches HaMishkan? It would seem to be that maybe they could use that fire as well. He seems to take on that they didn't need fire at all because they had fire provided for them by Hashem. So therefore, one would have thought that since it's not really part of the Meleches HaMishkan, therefore it's not forbidden for us to do on Shabbos, because we're only forbidden to do that which the Torah, that which Bnei Yisrael did in the Meleches HaMishkan. Says the Maror Diskin. Lachain huzharnu al zeh beferush, and that's why the Torah warns us about this explicitly. Ubeloshoin b'chol moshvei seichem. Why does it say b'chol moshvei seichem in all your dwelling places? This is a question which many mafarshim are dealing with, which we don't have time to deal with. Why specifically b'chol moshvei seichem in all your dwelling place? To tell you that a time would come when you would need to make fire. All very well in the Midbar, they didn't need to make fire because HaKadosh Baruch Hu provided them with fire. But said HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there will come a time when you go into Eretz Yisrael and you will not have an Amud Eish anymore. And you have to light your own fire. Don't think that that is permitted on Shabbos, as it was perhaps not necessary to do in the time of the Midbar. No, the Malacha of Havara is going to be forbidden, and that is a reason why it singles it out. Now, let's talk a little bit, that's the background to how the Mefarshim Chazal understand this Pasuk. There is one other point as well, which Chazal say is a Gemara, and is Paskin by the Chinuch and the Rambam. something completely different to what we've been talking about. There is a Chazal which learns that this pasuk is a warning to the Beis Din not to carry out Misas Beis Din on Shabbos. Sometimes, in very rare situations, Beis Din has to carry out Misas Beis Din. And the Torah is warning us over here, do not light a fire, because that was necessary, or at least one of the Misas Beis Din. And the Torah is saying, don't do that on Shabbos. Shabbos is not a day for carrying out these type of things. And this is Paskin, this Chazal, Paskin by the Chinuch and the Rambam Lahalocha. And that's how the Rambam learns, that's the Pshat in the Pasuk over here. What's it going to do? Where do we know that from? It's a learn from a Gezeira Shova. The word B'chol Mosh Ve'Seichem is also used elsewhere in the context of the Beis Din, and therefore we learn this Pasuk is also talking about that. But this doesn't take away from the basic meaning of the Pasuk, which is what we've discussed, not igniting or kindling a fire on Shabbos for all the different reasons that we've said. Now, what does lighting a fire actually entail? What is a fire? How do you light a fire? What is fire? Right, any scientists here? What's a fire?
A release of energy.
Yeah, or conversion of one energy to another. What is fire? What happens when fire is burning? What is the chemical process we call that? Combustion, right? There's a fuel of some kind, whatever the fuel is. The fuel is combusting, and that produces energy. Fire is heat, and fire is light, right? It's both. How do you produce fire? You can rub sticks together, you can rub different types of stones together. You can take a magnifying glass, as boys tend to do in school, and hold it in the sun, burn holes in pieces of paper with the fire. Any of these things are forbidden on Shabbos under the melacha of Havorah. Even if you have a fire burning already, one is not allowed to add shemen or any kind of fuel to the fire. Gemara in Beit Zedach Chof Beis says, Moisif Shemen Laner is forbidden on Shabbos as well. All these things are included. It's not just igniting a new fire, but it's also increasing the fire that's actually there. Let's try and make this a little bit now halacha lemaisa, practical. We tend to light fires. If you have a gas fire, for example, so a gas hob, you will light. That's lighting an ash, and that would obviously be forbidden on Shabbos. What about electrical fire? So, for example, turning on an element, a heating element, which gets red hot. What about turning on a classic light bulb? Not light bulbs, which we have nowadays as LEDs and fluorescents and things, but let's talk firstly about a classic filament light bulb. So what is a filament light bulb, right? Not so easily available nowadays. What is a filament light bulb? So a filament light bulb is a glass casing, and inside the glass casing is a very, very thin wire. Electricity is passed through the wire, and because of the resistance of the wire, which means that the different materials don't let current pass through that easily, depending on the material. Because of the resistance going through the wire, energy is generated, and that energy comes out in the form of light and heat. Actually, in a classic light bulb, according to what I understand, it's about 95% of the energy is actually heat, and 5% is actually light. Now, most poskim hold that is proper ash on Shabbos. To the extent that it's reported in the name of various different gedolim from before the war, Ruchaim Briska and Ruchaim Moise Kudinsky, that they would make the bracha Ma'orei Ha'esh, Baruch Ma'orei Ha'esh, Motzi Shabbos, on a light bulb. They did it on a light bulb. Instead of lighting a fire, they did it on a light bulb. Why did they do it in a light bulb? Because the light bulb was invented, I think it was in 1890. Electricity was discovered relatively recently in that time, and People did not know exactly the status of this on Shabbos. It was a new thing. For us, it's poshut. You don't operate electricity and light bulbs on Shabbos. But in those times, it wasn't so poshut. It was discussed by the poiskim. And the gedolim felt they had to make a point. Ruchaim Briska, Ruchaim Moise, and others made a point of making the bracha Ma'orei Ha'esh on a light bulb to show everybody that this is Esh. And therefore, on Shabbos, one would not be allowed to turn it on. For us, which is posher, for them it wasn't so posher, so they made a point of it. So that's in relation to a filament bulb. Now today we have other different types of bulbs. We have fluorescent tubes, fluorescent bulbs, and we have halogen bulbs, and we have LEDs. What is the status of those in halacha? Now, a fluorescent tube, right? A long fluorescent tube. The way that works is, when you turn on the electricity, there are two electrodes at the end, which are pieces of metal, which send out electrons. They get hot, and they send out electrons when they get hot, and those electrons go into a gas which is inside the tube, and phosphorus, usually, and that causes the phosphorus to glow. So the light that you're actually seeing is not the light of fire. The light you're seeing from a fluorescent is the glowing of a gas. It's not fire. But there is a certain amount of fire that's created when the metal electrodes at the end of the tube actually get hot. They get very hot, as if you want to touch it, yeah, you can see it's actually very hot. That, according to many poskim, that part of it is esh. Not the fluorescing part, but the side part is esh. And similarly with halogen as well, it's not exactly so clear. But LEDs are not esh. The LEDs work, they are semiconductors, which is a type of material which doesn't fully conduct electricity, partially conduct electricity, and they give off also a glow, but it's not a fire. That doesn't mean, obviously, we can operate them on Shabbos, right? It means it's not the Oraisa, it would probably be the Rabbanon. And there are certain practical nafkaminas, practical applications of that for in situations of a choleh and situations of hospitals. It's preferable, if one would have to turn on a light, to operate an LED light rather than operate a classic filament light, if there was one even available. The completing of the circuit aspect was also a very big machlokes between the Gedolim at the time. Everybody said it's forbidden, but everyone said a different reason why. There were at least five different reasons given why operating electricity on Shabbos is forbidden, even without lights. Just, let's say, for example, turning on a fan has no lights, usually. It's just turning on a circuit. But there were at least five different approaches in the poskim at the time. Some took on it was the Oraisa, the Chazon Ish, and others who went with him. And some took on that it was the Rabbonon for other reasons. Everyone agreed it was forbidden. Everyone gave different reasons why. That's a separate shir in its own right. So obviously we're not trying to argue here at all that it should be permitted to turn any of these things on. Everything here is forbidden at least mid Rabbonon, and everything here is forbidden at least mid Rabbonon, and possibly even mid Oraisa as well. To conclude, the Zohar, I don't usually quote the Zohar in my Shiurim, but I saw this quoted in various Sforim, Halacha Sforim. The Zohar says in the Tikkuni Zohar, and it's quoted by the Elio Rabbo, which is a Halacha Sefer, in Simon Reish Mem Beis, Seif Koton Aleph. The Elio Rabbo writes, in the name of the Zohar, the Tikkuni Zohar, that this pasuk has to do with Shalom Bayis. This pasuk has got to do with Shalom Bayis. What's this pasuk got to do with Shalom Bayis? It's a azhora, it's a warning to people not to be mevayeh, to ignite esh, the esh of ka'as, of anger, on Shabbos. Shekol mi shekoyes is the... Wait 1 second. Shekol mi shekoyes madlik esh hagehenim. People get angry, it ignites the fire of Gehenna. And obviously this is forbidden during the week as well. But it's brought specifically on Shabbos, when we know the Eish of Gehenna rests. For a person to be madlik the Eish of Gehenna would be an even worse thing on Shabbos, which is a day of Menucha. And therefore, Chayes can bring a very strong azhora to refrain from any kind of anger. Now, someone asked just now, but you can't do it during the week anyway. One should refrain from it during the week. So what's the difference? So the poskim say the following difference. The difference they say is, during the week, one is allowed, in certain circumstances, to show anger. Not to get angry, but to show anger. In a certain situation, if a person has to, let's say, discipline somebody, in certain situations, one would be allowed to show anger without getting angry. One would have yeshuvah das, but showing as though the person is angry in certain situations. On Shabbos, one's not allowed to do even that. That's enough kimina. That's the difference between Shabbos and during the week, right? Neither time should one be getting angry, to the best of one's ability, and one should try to be shaylet to control that. On the weekday, one can show it for certain situations. On Shabbos, one shouldn't even show it at all. I'll finish with the words of the Sefer of the Agra Tekala, which is a Chassidish Sefer. So he says, Lo sevaru eish az hora la'odom al haka'as k'mavu b'mekubolim. Right? It's an azhora on ka'as, as is explained by the Mekubolim. Sha'ali dei ha'ka'as martiach gufoy. By anger, a person boils up his body. We know that a person sometimes is allowed to get angry against people who go against Hashem. If you see, for example, people are doing things that are wrong, one is allowed to show a certain amount of anger. The Chachmei HaMusa writes, if a person wants to even show anger of some kind in those limited situations, he has to do it with Yishuv Hadas. Shelo yovoy hakas beliboy. The real kas shouldn't be coming in his heart. Rak yare lohem ki ilu koyes. He should show to people as though he's getting angry. V'zeh dafka b'yomoy sachol. Ava b'yom ha-shabos mevua b'zeh shetzorich l'harois chedvas levovoy v'simchas v'simchosei b'Hashem Yisroch. On Shabbos you have to show his love and his simcha for Hashem on the Yom HaShabbos. And he says, and that's why the Torah says, Lo sevaru eish, means the eish of ka'as, afidu b'chol moshveiseichem. Moshveiseichem for the Lashon of Yishuv Hadas. B'chol moshveiseichem, even when you are b'yishuv Hadas. Shabbos is a day when we don't even show any kind of anger at all. And this is how the Pasuk is interpreted by Chazal, many different facets. To summarize what we've said, we've got the approach of Chazal, that it's a specific pasuk over here coming to tell us that the melacha of Havara is forbidden on Shabbos, because we may have thought it actually permitted. Comes along the Torah to single it out for various different reasons. We have the other approach of Chazal, that it's coming to, was a warning to Beis Din, not to carry out the Mises Beis Din at all on Shabbos. And we have the approach which is taken at La Halacha, which is one is not allowed to light any kind of fire, and even modern types of fire, bulbs, and that kind of thing. And finally, al derech hamusa, we understood the pasuk in terms of not becoming angry b'yom hashabbos.